Hello, everybody. Good morning. Thank you for coming to Capes and Baskets. This is this is our panel about fairy tales and superheroes. My name's Dante. I'm one of the ambassadors of the Geek Embassy, and I'm going to let the other panelists introduce themselves.
I'm Regina McMenemy. I'm a college professor at WSU Vancouver. Yay if you're an alum. I'm the lead ambassador for the Geek Embassy.
My name's Jennifer Lever. I am a professor at Miramar College in San Diego.
And I'm Isabella Olivera. I do
everything for the Geek Embassy.
But including the social media, and I also write for the site.
Cool. All right, fantastic. I'll be moderating today. Oops. If you have any questions, we will have a Q&A at the end. So Let's go ahead.
All right.
Okay. And Regina, you wanted to start with this question.
I did. I wanted to ask the audience before we sort of launched into our discussion today, what do you guys know about fairy tales? And if you could just shout out from where you're sitting, just tell me what you know about fairy tales. If any. A lot. Give me an example. Rapunzel, yeah?
The six swans are probably my favorite.
Awesome. Good. Excellent examples.
They're what? Ones, like, you know,
right. Cinderella. Yeah. We know lots of those names and lots of those stories. A little different. Yes, definitely a little different. Good. Well, thank you. And that's part of what I want to do as we get started with the discussion here, to define fairy tales. So genre of storytelling distinct from myth, legend, or nursery rhyme that shares common elements. So there are a lot of commonalities you see in fairy tales, in Rapunzel or in Snow White and all those stories. We have similar things that happen in all those stories. That's part of what categorizes them as a fairy tale. So some of the characteristics are they often occur in a very vague, related, or unquantifiable past. Once Upon a Time, which is actually the name of a show now, right?
Yep, it is.
It's important that that time not be defined because it gives the reader or viewer of it more leeway to
interpret
and put their own ideas into the story. They were told as flights of fancy. They have magical elements, enchantments, talking animals, impossible beasts, and really, really, really bad guys, usually. They've changed significantly from what fairy tales started out as. Originally, fairy tales were meant exclusively for adult entertainment. They were told around the fire at night. They had very dark themes like exhibitionism, rape, and voyeurism. They were very dark. If you look at some of the original storytelling of, it's not Snow White, it's Sleeping Beauty.
Yep.
She's actually raped while she's sleeping. Okay. So it was very dark. They were very dark themes. They were definitely cleaned up to become children's stories in the 19th century. So they changed dramatically to what we know, and then dramatically again from what has been done to them, I'd say, in what, the last 50 or 60 years, through Disney primarily.
It started in the Victorian era. So prior to Disney, they started bowdlerizing, which basically means taking out those kind of nastier elements and turn them into moral tales. They didn't actually used to be moral tales. They were more for entertainment.
Yeah, more you sitting around the fire and you're trying to keep each other entertained on a cold night. That's more what fairy tales were about originally. So why are we talking about fairy tales and superheroes, right? They don't seem like they go together very well. So one of the things that's so important about the stories that we tell right now is that every story reflects the era it's written in. So our superheroes reflect our ideologies of the world, as all stories do. So we have a bigger, scarier world because of the way news is reported, the way we know things now. Our world is bigger and scarier. So therefore, we need bigger, stronger heroes to fight those big bad guys. News is quicker and faster. It's available everywhere. And if you look back, the popularity of superhero movies surged after the terrorist attack on 9/11. Like, just the popularity and the number of superhero movies that came out was just huge after that. And we've seen a change too, like we've seen changes with fairy tales, our superheroes have become more complex, more flawed, and definitely not kind of the clean-cut superheroes we were first introduced to, which we're demonstrating today with Jen's outfit. So some of the common themes that we've seen, what we're going to do is I'm going to give an example, Jen's going to give an example, and Isabella's going to give an example of these themes and how we see them playing out in specific superhero stories. And then we're going to open the floor to questions from you guys. We've done this presentation once before, and we had a lot more time to do it, so we're kind of trying to cram as much information into the minutes that we're talking to you as possible. So if we seem a little rushed, that might be why. So the themes that we've identified are unexplored worlds, as the journey for self, as a metaphor for the journey of self. Identifying with the hero is crucial. Some people identify with some heroes and some don't. The antagonists that embody dark, dangerous power. There's often otherworldly assistance we see in various forms throughout our superhero stories. We have good helpers, or people who come together to make good teams, working together and on your own. And the universal struggle between good and bad forces. So these are the sort of broad themes that we see, and we're going to give some specific examples. And I'm going to go first, and my first example is Guardians of the Galaxy. So one of the themes that we see in lots of fairy tales are either lost or step parents. So I have lots of orphans, and we can see Star-Lord at the beginning loses, he's never known his father, and his mother dies at the very, very beginning. Similar to Cinderella, who has lost her mother, and then her father dies early at the beginning of the story as well. So she actually sees the passing of a parent. And we have talking or magical beasts. Examples from Guardians of the Galaxy are Rocket and Groot, right? Yes. And from Pinocchio, I pulled Jiminy Cricket, who is conscience of Pinocchio. Yes, thank you. Who tells him to do right, which is definitely not Rocket's role in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Although Groot might be
Groot's role, actually, whatever interpretations you want to make of his I am Groot repetition. He is definitely the heart of the group. And you could say the same of Jiminy Cricket as well. Positive influence, we see positive relationships evolve in Guardians of the Galaxy, and one of the most significant is with Gamora and Star-Lord. It's so important, the friendship that comes between the two of them. And one of the things that brings them and brings the group together is his willingness to sacrifice himself to rescue her when she's in danger. And that's part of what we see play out in Peter Pan as well, where Wendy and Peter Pan have that same kind of relationship where they bring out the best of each other. And this is the rescue I mentioned in the previous slide. So the rescue is part of what helps them kind of come together. We also see the rescue happening in Hansel and Gretel, where it is Gretel who ends up being the one who can rescue the two of them from the evil witch. And finally, they come together, much like our mismatched heroes in Wizard of Oz. The Guardians of the Galaxy come together to be a group of fighting heroes. And that's another theme that we see, is a lot of characters sort of coming together and finding strength within each other. All right.
All right. So I have long loved fairy tales. I've connected with those stories for quite some time. And I find that fairy tales are really the story of women. And comics, up until recently, have really been kind of the purview or storytelling of men. And I'm really enjoying more modern sort of comics, more modern heroes that have brought women and have brought far more diverse characters. And I think a huge piece of both comics and of fairy tales is like this journey through an unexplored world. And so today I'm going to talk about Harley Quinn. She's really one of my favorite characters because she's so complex. She's not a simple villain, and she's not a hero. She is like all of us. She has both a dark side and a positive side. And when you read Little Mermaid, not the Disney version, but even in the Disney version, you find that she gave up her voice, her most important kind of piece of who she is, in order to, quote-unquote, fall in love. And I see Harley as having emerged from this horrible, toxic relationship with the Joker and is finding her voice. And she really is trying very much to seek her identity, to figure out who she is separate from the Joker. I think the wolf is, well, we know the wolf is ever present in fairy tales, and the wolf is such a powerful character in fairy tales because at the time they were created, the vast majority of people were farmers, and wolves were really a problem. They attacked livestock. They you know, would ruin your farm, and it could really truly ruin you for an entire year. I mean, it could kill you. You could starve to death if they took your food, took your livestock. So the wolf does this great job of representing this universal evil that must be destroyed. And very clearly in Harley Quinn, the Joker is a wolf. He's a sexual predator. He's evil. And he tries to blow her up. So I call that a universal evil that must be destroyed or must be overcome. To be destroyed doesn't necessarily mean killed. She just has to overcome that
to be
really
reborn.
Be reborn, mm-hmm. that toxic relationship. Mm-hmm. The Frog Prince is a really, I think, interesting fairy tale in that things work out, at least in most versions, for this princess who's actually rather spoiled and kind of awful. but in Harley Quinn, I actually love Bernie. I think Bernie is hilarious. Bernie may not be real, as it seems like the only person who can hear Bernie talk is Harley.
Yes, yeah.
But I see him as often kind of her inner voice and her inner conscience. And I think it's hilarious that she has a talking beaver. It amuses me to no end. The Rescue. One of my favorite kind of pieces of, Harley Quinn is that she really does have to kind of rescue herself. It's about her moving beyond who she was with the Joker and about finding her own identity. And there's this huge amount of self-rescue. And we really see that in the fairy tale for Beauty and the Beast. Beauty discovers herself and discovers the Beast really isn't this awful monster, even though he doesn't look beautiful. And then we have, finally, the magical, mystical team of fighters. And so Harley Quinn, when she finally breaks away from the Joker, has had some really interesting adventures. She's had a lot of fun with Power Girl. She also is a member of Suicide Squad. And, she really started out as having no powers at all. And she ends up, through various sorts of adventures, she ends up having some. But I do kind of love some of her abilities. You can really see this in actually Sleeping Beauty or Briar Rose, or my actually favorite version of this. It's called The Sun, Moon, and Talia. And in that story, yes, she is raped, but she doesn't wake up. She's mm-hmm. asleep.
Yeah.
And she gives birth to twins. And the fairies in that story really band together in order to lessen her curse, to make sure she doesn't die. And in Talia, The Sun, Moon, and Talia, the fairies actually are getting together and trying to help care for the children. And one of the twins is trying to breastfeed and accidentally sucks on her finger and sucks the poison splinter out. And that's actually how she wakes up. They really sort of do this great job of showing these magical teams of fighters working together. And it's, I'm going to hand it off to Isabella.
Okay, so my superhero is Jessica Jones. A little bit, a very current one. So a common theme in a lot of fairy tales is either them losing their parents or, you know, one of the parents dies and they gain a step-parent. And for Jessica, she loses her entire family in a tragic car accident that gives her her powers. And she's adopted by this woman who is kind of awful and abusive. And, you know, putting in the first, like, big bad of her story that she has to try to overcome and use her powers to overcome the struggle with her. It's something that's very common in fairy tales, like Rapunzel. She's locked by her stepmother into a huge tower and left alone, and she has to find a way out of that. Another common theme that I think is present in pretty much all of our stories is the universal evil that must be destroyed. And Hansel and Gretel is the evil witch that is, you know, eating.
Trapping.
Can't get much worse than but in Jessica Jones, her big bad is the Purple Man, or Kilgrave, as he's known in the show. And he is a very... he's pretty much ruled by his base desires. He's, like, all in. He's obsessed with power and just satisfying his own desires completely to the detriment of others. He has no empathy at all.
Which is pretty much the same as the witch in Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah,
since,
yeah,
you know, she really just wants the kids to eat, so...
It's pretty much all she wants.
Yeah, is to fulfill that base desire, sure.
And he is the big shadow that haunts her past and that eventually comes back that she has to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And another common theme is a positive influence, a consciousness. In Jessica Jones, it's Trish who tries to minimize Jessica's risky behaviors. And in a lot of tales, it's a fairy godmother or some kind of creature like Jiminy Cricket, who's there as an outside influence to try to guide them down a right path. And Jessica,
lean in.
Somebody decided to really work. Okay. Next page. A common theme in fairy tales is that they're often
they're rescued. Yeah,
they're rescued. And some of them they're not, but it's a very common theme for them to be rescued by, you know, a male figure in their life or a prince. But Jessica, in the way that Jessica differs, is that she doesn't really rely on that. She has to save herself.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking of that. Okay, and although she has to save herself, she eventually, like,
okay.
Back on that.
No, she starts down that path, but she, instead of relying on someone else, she kind of accumulates this little team of fighters to help her take down the big bad, and she realizes that she can't go it alone completely. She needs the strength from other people to help her, you know, defeat Kilgrave.
Mm-hmm. Good. And we have some questions for you guys to consider. If you want to ask us some questions, we're open to your questions now. But these are some that we'd like to hear from you guys. What's your favorite fairy tale character, your favorite superhero? And do you see any connections, or what connections can you make between your favorite superheroes and fairy tales?
And we do have a mic there.
Yeah, so please make sure to talk to the mic, because we're trying to record today. So.
Does anyone have a favorite fairy tale of theirs?
Beauty and the Beast.
And your favorite superhero?
Superman
and Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, man.
Wow.
That's a tough
one.
I like them for different reasons, so they're not...
That's fair.
They're not...
Yeah, I was trying to think. It's like... Because you can't even consider him a beast when he's dressed as Clark Kent, because he's still gorgeous. So
yes, he's always beautiful.
You can't really break that. And I'm trying to think of like.
Well, I mean, coming into his own, coming into his own.
Yeah.
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 And Superman does have the, he could be a beast.
He could be a beast.
He could be.
Yeah, he has the strength, the potential.
Yeah, he is otherworldly.
He's an alien. Right.
He's smart. Yeah. He's a reporter. Belle likes to read. There we go.
Yes.
Growing up, and then transition to Mulan because nobody gets to Robin Hood, and then back over to Belle as my princess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At that age, but. Robin's not really
hardly fairy tale. Well, it's close enough. I mean, we used The Wizard of Oz, which wouldn't necessarily be like 100% fairy tale because it was, certainly not written in the fairy tale era.
But it has a lot of the elements of it,
yes. And I would say Robin Hood does as well.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And there's modern.
What was that?
It's what you collect.
Got it. Right. Yeah.
Well, and we use there are modern fairy tales, and it's typically these stories that combine these various elements. And if you want to look at comics as modern fairy tale, that's acceptable.
Good. Any other combinations people have?
Yeah. I really like the Baba Yaga.
Love Baba Yaga.
And that's one of those ones where sometimes, you have a character who goes to her for something, and it winds up being the whole hidden consequences. As far as superheroes go, I got to go with the Flash.
Flashpoint.
There's some.
specifically Barry Allen, because the thing that makes Barry Allen a hero isn't necessarily the speed, it's this incredible sense
heart.
Of hope.
Hope and heart, yep.
He doesn't want to defeat the rogues, the rogues, but he wants to redeem guys like Captain Cold, because he looks at this genius and is like, why are you robbing banks with an ice gun when you could be cured cancer?
I find it great that you brought up Baba Yaga with all the hidden consequences. You've got great examples of that in the Deadpool movie, actually, very recently, where he goes in thinking that he's going to go ahead and get his cancer cured, and he ends up becoming he was going to be a super slave before he broke out. And I had another one where Wolverine, the Weapon X program, which was supposed to just be another super soldier program, and they were going to. We all saw the most recent movie with the headgear and the strategically placed radio, whatever he had below his waist. I'm glad that you brought up Baba Yaga. It's a
good,
great
Baba Yaga. Those are great connections. Yeah.
And I think Barry Allen is great as like a fairy tale. He's very, kind of selfless and kind, which I think is common in fairy tales that the protagonist is usually very. Good.
We find
a lot of times, actually, too, in fairy tales, that the main character is flawed, but what makes them the hero is they overcome the flaw. Mm-hmm. Like in Snow White, at least if you read some of the older versions, she really was quite vain, just like the stepmother, but she overcomes her vanity, and it's the fact that she overcomes her flaws that makes her the hero. And I see that a lot in comics as well. It's not about being perfect. It's about overcoming whatever obstacles are in your path.
And letting your better side, basically.
Yes, exactly. And the blue dress dress that I'm like coveting right now.
Yeah.
My fairy tale is like I said earlier, the Six Swans.
It's
really hard one to find.
Yes.
Yes.
Superhero is Hawkeye.
Oh, I like Hawkeye. That.
Yeah.
Which one? Kate Bishop or Clint Bart?
I kind of like both of them. I love the
Oh god, yeah, with the thing,
With the thing.
Hawkeye.
Oh, yeah.
But I love the flaws that the comic book one has.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, what I like about that one is he goes out and he takes on far too much responsibility.
Yeah,
like he's very selfless.
He
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. He moved into the wrong apartment building, and you know, you've got the tracksuit mafia sitting right there. Yeah.
All right. Robin has something.
Of course, Robin.
Yes.
Robin. Yes.
Yes. Got
Robin's
it.
Robin's great.
And Cinderella. And the older versions, if people haven't read it, were actually more gruesome.
Oh,
yes,
much more gruesome. Oh, you mean with the toes that get cut off
and
the heels
dancing,
that get cut off,
and then
and
dancing
all
until
the buddies.
Dancing in. Hot shoes until she dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
and the
out.
Birds pecking out their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And, yep.
It's
I will
gruesome.
Agree. I
Terrible. Sorry. Disney
despise
catch up.
The Disney version of Cinderella.
Yeah.
I just despise her. I want to smack her.
So what connections do you see with Robin?
Connections I see in the stories with Cinderella, her mother dies first.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then with Robin, Tim Drake's Robin, his mother dies first.
Yeah.
And his stepmother, her stepmother takes advantage of her father. Her father is living, and then eventually he does die.
Right.
But with the other character, my hero, his father also dies later, and he's murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible, if you think about Cinderella's story, it's possible that her stepmother may have even murdered her father to get everything that she wanted from
him.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
No, and it's very common to have step-parents. And typically in fairy tales, they're not great, but sometimes they are. Sometimes they end up being a good influence, and definitely you see that with Robin finding Bruce Wayne and having someone to teach him, you do see those positive influences.
He didn't at first want to be adopted.
Right.
And I love Robin as a character as well. I think another great parallel that you can bring is with the Dick Grayson character.
Yes.
Being brought in as just the ward first, becomes Robin, and then eventually graduates and finds
Nightwing.
His own voice as Nightwing, where you can see a lot of parallels to the King Arthur myths, where he starts out as basically, especially in the Disney version, just a squire, and then eventually gains all these skills through the tutelage of Merlin, and then he ends up becoming the king of all the land.
Mm-hmm.
And it's it's a wonderful little parallel. Thank you for bringing that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some other ones?
Sure.
I actually have a question.
Yes,
sure.
That too.
Brought up earlier about how fairy tales are more like a woman's story or like stories about women, whereas superhero stories are more like for and written by men.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that is changing.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
For sure.
But I was just wondering what you thought about the fact that both of them do have this kind of, I don't know what the right phrase is, male power dynamic, or like this kind of misogynistic
theme. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll say you have to think, too, about at least when most of the fairy tales we are looking at were written. It makes sense. There's a power dynamic there. I will say I do think in fairy tales, and it's they changed over time, but a lot of them, and even step parents, a lot of times as soon as a parent died, people remarried because they had to in order to survive.
Reasons.
Like
yeah.
There was no way to survive without having that connected family to basically farm.
Mm-hmm.
And so as society changed and men became more dominant and we had less farming, you even see the shifts in fairy tales. I think it's something to be aware of, but it's not something you change based on when they were written.
Yeah. But we can see that changing even in our, like, our examples. You know, both Jen and Isabella pulled out examples of very strong, you know, complex female characters. And even my example, though, it's Star-Lord is the lead sort of character. You know, Gamora is an absolutely outstanding
badass
female character.
She's a badass.
Which,
we love her.
You know, even 10 years ago would have been a hard sell, you know, which is much easier for us to do now. But that's, like I said, with the stories reflecting where we are as a society, we're seeing, you know, it's not perfect. It's certainly not perfect.
Nope.
But it is changing. And that's why I'm curious to see what they do with, because I didn't see the live action Cinderella, so I can't speak to
but
that.
Beauty
because
and the Beast.
Their Cinderella story just generally makes me kind of crazy. But I'm curious to see what they do with the live action Beauty and the Beast, because Belle has so much depth just as a character that they'd have a lot more to work with that one.
And I'll say one of the things I've read is this idea that there's almost like a soup that we pull these themes out and the themes remain the same, but the stories
we tell them
reflect our current society. And so I agree. Mm-hmm. I think it's shifting.
Yeah.
And that's why I said I'm happy it's shifting and we're getting more diverse.
Heading in that
direction. I was like, yes.
Yeah, kind of a question. So I was thinking about the connections between Peter Pan and Spider-Man.
Awesome.
So,
fantastic.
There's kind of like this loss of parent.
Right?
Yes.
So, you know, Peter's eternal child, there's no parental figures around.
Right.
Peter's folks aren't around and then he loses his uncle right away.
Right.
So I guess what I'm wondering is like, why is that loss of parent like so prevalent in fairy tales?
I think it was in part because it was really what happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was. Got to remember when these stories were told, when they were being written, it was pretty. Life was harsh. The conditions were harsh, and they were terrible. The other thing I think, and I think it's stylistically or thematically, it really feeds into that journey of self.
Yeah, and this idea
of early loss and needing to overcome that and not necessarily having a guide, not necessarily having a parent to show you the way increases the struggle of the hero, and that makes it more interesting. I mean, Peter Parker is an interesting character, but without the loss of his parents and his uncle, what would drive him? And so, you know, it's similar in these stories. Without the loss of the step-parents or like Hansel and Gretel, without being abandoned by their own parents, what would drive them?
Or having the step-parents as the evil that they're fighting against, you know, in some cases. But I also think along with the idea of they can become more of an individual without parents.
Yeah, more,
you know, like truly, like that journey is more complete because they don't have the you know, the figures kind of standing next to him. It's the same thing with Harry Potter.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why Harry gets to be the chosen one, and in some reasons why it's not Neville, is because Neville's parents are still alive, even though they're not, they're absent, but they're still alive.
Yeah.
So he can't stand as like an individual in the way that Harry Potter can.
Right, he had those
connections.
Harry Potter has to. Yeah, he has absolutely no choice of it. And I think that that's part of the determination of the characters, is having that absent parent. Which is why, you know, with Guardians of the Galaxy, we have this, like, question about, like, who his dad is. You know, we had with Luke Skywalker and all that, you know, kind of, you know, that, you know, those stories,
and
too.
Peter Pan, you know, actually it's a great parallel because Peter Pan, in a weird way, we don't actually know what happened to his parents, except they're gone, and he elects to stay a child. Until he meets Wendy's, granddaughter, but he elects to stay a child, and you see that, and I can see how that would, you know, how that's sort of that obstacle of becoming a true adult and finding your way, and you see those similar obstacles in fairy tales as well.
I think it's also like, a loss of a parent is like a pretty normal, like, instigating event to kind of spur you.
Not that we have any personal experience with this lately.
But it kind of spurs you into action pretty quickly. It kind of forces you into adulthood.
It forces you to grow up. It does. Yeah. If you don't have the parent there to take care of you.
Yeah, which I think is a lot about what Peter Pan's story is about.
Is
his reluctance to actually make that journey.
to take that step and break away from being a child.
I just let they fly.
Yeah.
I'm with you on the Peter Pan's great.
Yeah.
Other connections or questions?
Comments.
Or just random fairy tales.
Yes.
I also say with Peter Pan, she becomes the mother figure.
Yes.
Yes, she does.
Absolutely.
She absolutely does.
Mm-hmm. Well, they wanted her to stay and be the mother, but it's, you know, Wendy is a child. And the whole point is she can't really grow up until she leaves Neverland. Because, you know, that's kind of the symbol of the journey. Yeah, yeah. I know. I want to stay in Neverland.
I want to. To some degree, at least.
Other fairy tales or superheroes.
You know, when we talk about like how societal mores change, you see this culture change, and you know, when it comes to fairy tales, at least you know, by the 21st century, we can't ignore the influence of Disney.
No.
I thought a few times about Maleficent, who
I love her.
Know, and I want to say Beauty and the Beast, that came out in the 50s, right? At late 50s, was that early 60s?
The animated movie. Oh, that was
1991.
Sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
I was sleeping, like, Sleeping Beauty and Snow White, I think, were 60s.
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, that's like the rumblings of, you know, that second wave feminism came up. And when you look at Maleficent, a lot of times one of the things you see, that, you know, when you look at, like, you know, feminine power, this is a lot of time it comes in the form of the throne.
Yes, the old lady.
When you look at Maleficent, she's tall, she's imperial.
Gorgeous.
She's statuesque,
She is upset that she has been snubbed and not given her proper due.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so then she is, you know, she punishes the king by taking away his daughter.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Could that be viewed as almost like the social mores starting to happen with second wave feminism and all that?
Certainly.
Kind of
absolutely.
Feminine power, because Maleficent to this day remains probably one of the most iconic Disney films.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and I also think you see it. It's slow, but Disney is changing.
Yeah.
I mean, I say look at Frozen, look at Brave, look at some of the movies
Moana.
That are
Moana, yeah.
I haven't seen Moana, but yes, look at the movies that have come out. One of the big changes I've seen, and I think it's huge, is they're not necessarily relying on a prince to rescue, and I'm glad of that.
Well, even, and they're not even relying on the romantic storyline as much as they were, that's all it was for so long.
Yes. It was
even
princess
in the, you know,
finds
resurgence.
Princess rescues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prince
so even
rescues
that's changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that wasn't necessarily, when you look at many of the fairy tales in their original form, that wasn't what they were about. It wasn't about the prince rescue. Sometimes it was, but usually it was kind of all over, and then the prince just came in at the end so they could be a happily ever after.
And that's one of the best things, or one of the things I appreciated the most about Frozen, was the fact that the prince, who would have in older Disney movies been the prince, right? The guy with, like, the pretty face.
He was horrible.
Who rescues. He was the bad guy.
Yeah, I loved
like,
that.
Like, how
I
awesome
it.
Was
it loved
that
it.
The guy who was supposed to be, you know, or had been in other films, had been, you know, so beautiful and so perfect and came from the right family and all that.
Oh, Shrek was
yes,
fantastic.
Exactly, you know, along those same lines. But that completely changed it. And he presented himself as good for as long as he possibly could until he was like, oh, I don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
Here's who I really am. And that was a nice twist.
Yeah.
Like, they became aware of making fun of themselves, you know, of upsetting their own structures, which was great.
Yeah.
I always appreciate that.
The True Love's Kiss thing also got upended in Frozen.
I liked that too.
That was awesome.
And again, in the Maleficent movie with Angelina Jolie,
where
she saved Sleeping Beauty with the true love of a mother and a daughter. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Yeah, so it's very – so they're very conscious now, I think, of how they're telling their stories in a way that I don't think they have been, which is nice. It's
I'll
a good
say,
change.
And I'll say this, too. It's long – it's not a fairy tale, but Beowulf. There's a novel called Grendel that is told from the monster's perspective. And I read that in high school, and that was when I saw Maleficent. When I saw that movie, I'm like – they got it. They stole it from literature, but yay, they got it. Like, there's two sides.
Steal from literature
all the time.
That's
it's
the tradition.
I enjoy seeing stories turned on their head or seeing the different perspectives, because it reminds us there are different perspectives. And we'll see if that ever happens with comics. If we ever see, you know, the Flash from Freeze's point of view. Yeah.
I'm just talking about the theme of rescue as being a big theme.
Yes.
How often it is, you know, male rescue.
Right.
Princess or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you guys did share some examples of either, like you're talking about how
yes.
yourself and things like that. I also noticed that you have a Ruby and Sapphire sticker on
oh, yeah.
that computer.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. So the thing about Ruby and Sapphire is that they are very, very heavily fairy tale inspired.
Right.
Like they have a whole scene in the answer where it's like the Sleeping Beauty kind of dance scene. And one of the things that I love about them is that they each of them rescues the other. It's not
yes.
one of them that's the rescuer and one of them that's the rescuee. They're both rescuing each other. Mm-hmm.
They both wake up the other one to... you know, something different, that they don't have to stay in.
I'll say this too. Superman. We always see Superman rescuing Lois Lane, but, and it's a big but, you have to wonder if she, in many ways, doesn't also rescue him and help him connect to and be human and maintain human values. And so I always enjoy the stories where it's not the simple hero rescues damsel in distress. When you have people rescuing each other, it's far better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things that that Marvel Comics did a couple of years ago was Tony Stark was in some sort of gigantic mess for reasons.
Yeah, and reasons.
And then Pepper Potts, he had actually made her a suit of armor apparently like years ago because, again, reasons. And he specifically said, like, I didn't go ahead and make this with any weapons. Like, it's simply, like, it's preventative measures, it's protective measures. And what's the name that she took? It was Rescue.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, and she ends up going ahead and saving Tony Stark from whatever was ailing him at that point. But like, I absolutely love the fact that, you know, she's called Rescue and she's around there saving all of her male superhero friends. It's pretty cool.
All right, we have a little under 5 minutes left. Does anybody have any other comments or questions for us or superheroes you'd like to test our muster to see if we can make any connections between your favorite fairy tales and superheroes?
Sure.
All right.
What do you think about that show Once Upon a Time?
Oh, boy.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I have a lot of feelings about this one.
Her name's Regina.
Yeah, there is that. I really liked her when she was bad.
Yeah.
I got a little fed up. We talked about this just recently on a show that we did where we got a little fed up when she went flip-flopped between being good and bad. Mm-hmm. What I loved about the early seasons of Once Upon a Time was their revisioning of the characters. And one of my favorites was a Snow White when mm-hmm. she became an archer
uh-huh.
and a ranger, and she could go out and she could hunt and like stand on her own and run from the princess, run from the queen on her own. And I absolutely loved that. And I loved how they went to the source material, kind of like what we're talking about here, right? They went to the deep, to the darker, to the real sort of fairy tales, as opposed to just picking up on the more recent tellings of them. And that's when I dropped them. Because as soon as Elsa showed up, I was like, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you wanted to do the Ice Princess, do it. Like, do Hans Christian Andersen.
Yeah.
Don't do Disney. And
yeah.
as soon as it was Disney, and I know because Isabella's told me that it wasn't all just Disney that the Ice Princess came in, but I was like, come on, you've got so much material here you can work with to just put that, you know, to have to go with Elsa. I was like, oh, I'm so disappointed in you.
I watched so early seasons, and I haven't, I'm definitely not caught up, but I loved those early seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
early
seasons were great. Captain Hook was my absolute favorite character.
Hook was awesome.
I loved that he was
awful.
This charming rogue.
Yes.
That came in and
he
eventually
was what he was supposed
and
to
he,
be.
And he eventually went ahead and made the right choices mm-hmm. and became the agent of good. And especially like I loved their inversion of Peter Pan and how he was just a giant jerk the entire time.
Was a good one. I'm gonna retelling that. Thank you for bringing that one up. That was a good one.
I do want to say there's besides Disney, there are really so many places that fairy tales come in. And
yeah.
as Once Upon a Time is clear, Grimm, There's so many that you can really, if you're like them like me, you can definitely find them.
Yeah. If you enjoyed today, please go follow us on the Geek Embassy and check us out. And we'd love to talk. We have a few minutes after, and we're here to talk with you guys if you want
have any
bring up after. I have business cards with our information on it too. All right. Thank you guys. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming here early.
Yes, thank you for getting here early morning for us.